Hey guys, welcome back to Bite Size English. And today we're going to be doing a bit of a historical podcast today. I always find that the history of languages are very important, but they're also very interesting too. So we're going to obviously talk a little bit about the some a certain part of the historical origins of English. And what we're going to talk about today is actually the influence of French in the English language. So French comes from the country of France, which is obviously very close to England, which is where English comes from. And so French is had a long history with the English. It has had a very big impact, a very big influence on the English language itself. So I'm just going to go through a couple different periods of the English-French relationship, and then we're gonna talk about some of the effects that French has had on English as well. And then I'm going to teach you guys about five or six different words or phrases that we use in English that are actually French words. Okay, so we're going to start off with a little bit of a brief history of French and England. So most famously, in England, we started speaking French in on the British Isles on in England in 1066. So that was about just shy of about 1,000 years ago, so about 900 and 900. My math is very bad right now. But 940 years ago, 908 years ago, something like that. So, what happened was there was a man named William, and he was a French noble. So he's a French man of that owned land in northern France, in an area called Normandy, what we now call Normandy. And he had a claim. So that means that he was the son of a son of a son that had a right to the English crown, the English throne. He said he should be the king of England. And so it was a bit of a troubling time for England. At the time, the king of England was a Anglo-Saxon, which is the original tribe or group that had been living in England for a long time. And so William the Conqueror, is what we call him now, he invaded England in 1066, and he defeated the English people there, the Anglo-Saxons, and he became the King of England. And the current Queen of England, Elizabeth II, she is a descendant. That means she is a great 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 granddaughter of William the Conqueror. She can draw her line back to William, and so that's the current crop of kings and queens we had for almost 1,000 years now. So he brought along with him a bunch of people that spoke French. And so when they were in England, they brought French to the country of England, well, the Kingdom of England, not the country. And so what that the influence did was the higher nobility, what we call the Anglo-Norman nobility, the people that had more money or the people that had land, they would speak French. They wouldn't speak English, they would speak French. And the people that were the lower classes, the people with less money or less land, they still spoke the old English, Anglo-Saxon English. So there started to become something what we call a bit of a doublet. So two ways to say the exact same word, right? So I'll give you a couple examples of that. For example, the French, they brought in all these different words to talk about how foods. So beef is what we the food that you eat from a cow, right? But the old days, we would say the word cow, talking about cow meat. Like we say the word chicken still. When you eat chicken, you can see a chicken running around. It's the same word. But French brought in the words beef, mutton, veal, and pork. So these are all different types of meat. Obviously, beef comes from a cow, mutton comes from sheep, veal comes from baby cows or calves, and pork comes from pigs. So we have these pairs of words to mean the same thing. And then we also have a couple extra words. Well, not there's I'm not going to go through every single one, but for example, we say the word start to mean to begin something. In French, it's commence, so we can say commence in English, and it means start. It means basically the same thing, but commence comes from French. And another example of that is we have the word meet. So if I go out and I meet someone for the first time, in French, we'd say encounter, and that means encounter. So we say encounter and meet, not exactly the same thing, but very similar, obviously. And then, for example, I'll give you one more last one, the word trade. So if I trade's very, very useful word. Obviously, I give you something, you give me something in return, usually money. The French word for that would be commerce. So commerce, so which is the kind of the area of trade. So they all have back in the old days, we'd use these kind of these what we call doublets, so these pairs of words that mean basically the same thing. So then, the next kind of era between the English-French relationship is when Henry II, so we call him Henry Plantagenet, he came in to rule England about 100 years after William had successfully conquered England. And he brought in a bunch of more French words, more French-speaking people into England because he had formerly been the Count of Anjou, which is another region in France, different than Normandy. And he brought in all sorts of new words as well into English, and that kind of muddled it a bit more. And then following that, even about a couple hundred years after Henry Plantagenet, we had another very important era of the French-English relationship is when they had the Hundred Years' War. So it's not actually 100 years, but they fought, England and France fought on and off, which means not consistently, not for the entire time, but for periods within about 120 years or so. They fought big battles, and it was a very important part for both countries' history for sure. And through the entire time, the kings of England said that they were also the kings of France, so they were trying to gain rights over France, and they wanted to control both England and France. And so it's a very important part of that relationship for sure. But eventually, they did wrap up the war, and England went into a bit of a civil war after that, almost immediately after. But the French and the English continued on having a bit of a troubled relationship throughout the next 500 years before what we now know as the alliance between the French and the English. They fought a couple of major wars. They fought one very important war in the 1700s as well. It's very important for me personally because it's the Seven Years' War. And Seven Years' War wasn't just fought between the French and the English, it was fought between lots of different European countries at the time. But it's important because they fought over the what would become the fate of Canada. So Canada became a dual language country. So we do speak English and French, although I don't speak very much French at all. But we do speak English in Canada because the French lost that war to England, and England was given the territory of Canada. So, and then they settled lots of families of the English-speaking families into Canada to recolonize it after France had colonized it for well over 100 years beforehand. And now Canada speaks both English and French. So that's kind of a part of the relationship of how French has really influenced the English-speaking language. And nowadays, England and France, after during World War One and during World War Two, they were allies, and they've kind of put their differences behind them a bit. But they both people from both France and England, they still have a bit of a interesting relationship for sure. But we definitely do see quite a bit of French in the English language. They estimate, they being people that research English language, estimate that about 25 to 30% of all English words come from French, and that's just French alone. That's not including Latin, which is a very important part of French as well, because there's a bunch of words that we had from the Romans before the French even showed up. And so, although technically we are a Germanic, it is a bit of a Germanic language, there's a lot of influence that came from French and Latin that have really changed what English has become. So the kind of main areas that French really has a influence on are things like politics, things like the military, so all of the ranks. So like when you're talking about different people within the military, like you have the army and the navy, a lot of them are from French. So for example, the word captain and lieutenant and sergeant, these are all French words. They don't come from English, they come from French. When we talk about a group in the military, we say the corps, the army corps, that comes from French as well. Corps means body, so it's the army body. A lot of words in the law come from French as well. We have things like judge and court and case. These are all French words as well. And then art as well. So a lot of things about culture and art are very French. So for example, we have words like music, cubism, collage is a French word, note is a French word, director is a French word. So there's a lot of influence from that side of as well. We also, even a couple colors come from French. So for example, the color blue is bleu in French, and the color violet is also in French as well, and there's a few others as well. Those kind of the more blended colors. Red and yellow are not as French as those. They have their own words for those colors. And then we have terms that, in more modern terms, that come from French-speaking people. So, for example, meter or kilometer, these are words that were developed in French. We also have things like oxygen and hydrogen, so like the elements that make up, you know, most things like water. They come from French as well. So French has a lot of influence on modern English for sure. And so it's very important that we understand that when you see some spelling, so the main problems with French, obviously, spelling is a big problem because the French spelling is a bit strange. I mean, even when I'm trying to learn French myself, there's a few things that just, it doesn't make sense. They don't pronounce the last letter of some words and these sort of things. So you say, why is it spelled that way? It might be because it's a French word. So that's one reason why it could be very confusing. So that's one part of the influence. Well, it's most of it, actually. But I just wanted to teach you guys a couple words that we use in English that are actually very French. So the first one I'll teach you guys is bon voyage. So we say this when someone's about to leave on a journey. It means to have a safe trip. So instead of saying have a safe journey, a lot of people say bon voyage to say goodbye. So that's one word we use in that's a French word. Another one, cul-de-sac. So C-U-L. And then we have a hyphen, and then D-E, and then another hyphen, S-A-C, cul-de-sac. It means the bottom of the sack. And what it means is, we use that in modern English now for certain urban developments in suburbs, is when you have a road and it leads to a dead end. It's kind of like it goes in a big round kind of circle, and the houses all face the road in kind of a semicircle. But it's like a short little road that ends with a bunch of houses. So we call that a cul-de-sac. We also have the very confusing word entree. So entree is when you go to a restaurant, you order an entree. In American English, in North American English, we use the word entree to mean the main course. So if you're going to go to a restaurant and have a steak, then that would be your entree. But entree means to enter. So it doesn't really make sense because in Australian English and UK English and kind of other English as well, entree actually means the smaller dishes that you eat before you have the main course. So, for example, some calamari, which is like deep fried squid, or maybe some little potato skins or something small that gets you ready for your main course. So we call that an entree. I now that I've spent time abroad, I use the word entree to mean that as well, because that's what it should mean. I don't think it should mean the main course. It's a bit of an error in North American English for sure. And then we have another word, carte blanche. So carte means card, like a piece of cardboard, C-A-R-T-E. And then blanc means white. It's the French word for white, so B-L-A-N-C-H-E. And so it means white card. And what it means is, it means I give you permission to do whatever you want. So you have full authority to make a decision. So I can say, for example, if I'm an administrator at a school, for example, and I say to one of my teachers, oh, you can teach your class carte blanche. You can teach the class carte blanche. It means whatever you want to teach them, you have full authority. I'm not going to help make you your own decisions. You can do whatever you want, within reason, obviously. And then we have the word touche, which is spelled T-O-U-C-H-E, and it means when someone responds in a certain way, you can respond back with touche. So, for example, if I'm in a bit of not an argument, but maybe a debate with somebody, and they say something, and they make a good point, I say something, then they make a good point, I'm like, oh, touche. So it means like, oh, I acknowledge that's a very good point that you just made. So that's very interesting. And then the final word, just because it's kind of a nice way to wrap up today, the word moose. So not M-O-O-S-E, like the animal that lives in North America with the big antlers. This is M-O-U-S-S-E, which is a kind of a creamy dessert, usually chocolate flavor in my experience, but it's like a kind of a fluffy, sweet dessert, usually made with chocolate. So that's called a mousse. So a lot of time you'll see, if you go to a restaurant, you'll see on the menu, they'll have a chocolate mousse. And mousse is a very French word for that very specific invention, right? So that's basically covers up the history of French in a very in a bite size, obviously, like we always do every day. And it also, you'll see a lot of these kind of words. And when you get used to English, when you have more experience with English, you'll be able to note, okay, well, that one definitely comes from French. This word comes from French, and that word comes from the German side, or maybe this word comes from the Latin side. So there's definitely some. It's very mixed into the language, and so that's something you need to be careful about, and just something that you should be aware of. Well, that's it for today. Be sure to send an email if you guys have any questions about the French language. I'm happy to talk about that for sure. I'm learning French myself right now, so it's kind of interesting to slice it in. And I'm still on Twitter at bitesize ENGPOD at bitesizeingpod, and then of course at the email bitesizedenglish@gmail.com. And until tomorrow, see you later.
The podcast you just heard was recorded with Anchor. If you want to make your own, download the Android or iOS app completely free from anchor.fm/podcast. That's anchor.fm/podcast.